What is going on Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. New camera, same me.
That's it.
Oh, shoot. Dude, I bet you that the quality is like significantly increased.
Yeah, it'll look better.
It's going to look better. I'm so excited. I hope that... Marshall, does it look better?
I think so.
Yeah, that's good. Awesome.
That's great.
I'm so happy. Shout out to Marshall and Ben setting up the new camera today that we're going to be using, hopefully, going forward. But, man, that's so much better. It's like right there instead of up there. I like that. I can look right here. Hopefully, if you do watch the podcast, hopefully you have a better quality camera. And hopefully very soon we'll have a better quality microphone as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yowzers.
You love a little upgrade.
You know, Ben.
What's that?
I was just thinking.
Oh, sure.
It's time.
Oh, is it?
To
rate
that. Crumble cookie. Here we go. It was kind of a sneaky one today.
It was very sneaky.
All right.
But we are here.
Let's go. I'm going to check this out.
Let's see it. Is he going to get it right?
Probably not.
The pictures aren't loading. It's weird that it's right there.
All right. I mean,
matching models.
It's either one of two, but I'm not going to do it. Give me sticky bun.
Hey,
let's go, baby.
He's back on track.
I got it because we already had the Kentucky butter cake. The confetti.
Don't think I wasn't tempted to get it
again. It was good. It was good. The confetti milkshake just kind of seems like a cookie with sprinkles and vanilla frosting. The pink velvet looks fun, but probably not what you would get.
You remember one of the first cookies that we had that was like the strawberry? It looked just like that, but strawberry.
Oh, you're right, Ben.
Yeah.
I bet you it's the same concept.
Probably.
Or similar concept, rather. Sticky bun. Can I read it, the description?
Oh, please do.
A buttery cookie filled with cinnamon sugar filling and topped with butterscotch caramel and a crunch of pecan. Oh, I was just about to say, it's like a pecan pie.
Yeah.
Wait.
It's like a cinnamon roll with pecans on it.
It's kind of like pecan pie.
Oh, yeah.
Cinnamon bun and... We said the same thing. We said... Oh, right. Okay, we said the same thing.
No doubt.
All right. All right. Sure.
That's pleasant.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of... Go ahead, you first.
I was going to say, that tastes far more cinnamon roll to me than pecan pie.
It's cinnamon roll.
You taste butterscotch?
Like I said.
Right, no doubt.
No, but you know what it kind of tastes like? A little bit?
What?
Kind of like a brown sugar Pop-Tart.
Yeah. No, you're definitely getting brown sugar.
I'd rather eat this than a brown sugar Pop-Tart.
Oh, sure.
This is really good.
Oh, it's
good. Know, like the stuff on the inside of the brown sugar Pop-Tart kind of feels like that's on top. The cookie has such a nice texture to it.
Oh, just great.
I'll be honest with you. That tasted really good.
It's very good.
I'm like, I honestly don't really, I really don't have any complaints about it.
Crumble just is still going. They're still going strong.
They're still going. You know what I like, too?
What's that?
The caramel or the butterscotch didn't get stuck in between my teeth. Just like a random thing here.
Yeah, for sure. That happens sometimes, and you don't like it. This is one of those ones, man. There's not a lot bad to say about it.
It's more just your flavor profile preference. I like cinnamon a lot. It's up there on one of my favorite types of desserts.
Yeah.
Cinnamon. I really can't find a fault.
No. But are you with me here? Like, by that logic, it should be, but it's not a 10.
No, because it's based on our enjoyment as well.
Right.
Like, for example, like, this is going to sound kind of strange, but like, it's true. We didn't like make a noise when we ate it. Like, you know how when we had the Oreo peanut butter one?
Yeah.
It was like, like it was like the, remember Even Caleb in high school?
Yeah.
It was like that, or Caleb still today. That's our one of our good friends, still to this day, but from high school. But it was like a but not like a you know what I mean?
They were probably expecting us to make a noise, and they were just like,
no noise.
What's going on over there?
No noise or blah. That I mean that would be. Have I ever said blah?
Probably not blah, but like. Ugh.
There are better cookies out there, but it's there's good. certainly not a lot of better cookies out there. I would eat the whole thing, no question.
Yeah, we've had worse for sure, and I think that the other two, the confetti one and the pink one, would have been worse.
I agree. Do you
this
think?
Is good.
Do you think that you would want to eat the entire thing? Not like yes. would, but want to. Okay,
kind of do right now.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, you know, can we get a quick cut? No, I'm just kidding. No, it's really good. It's really really good.
It's good.
I'm happy with it. I really like. I almost feel like I'm just gonna keep saying the same thing over and over again. So I'm just gonna kind of lock in what I'm gonna give this. I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I'm with mine.
All right.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Eight and a half.
Okay. I went 8. It was really good. It didn't blow me away.
Right.
If you're going to get in the 9s, you blew me away a little bit.
That's why I
you
didn't
know?
Go 9.
Right.
Because it wasn't 9. But it's really good. Very, very solid.
You know what it kind of is like? You ever have like a shortbread cookie?
Yeah.
And you're like, man, that really hit the spot.
But the flavor isn't like blowing you away.
No, it's not blowing you away. It hit the spot.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this does. It
makes
hit.
Sense. Because cinnamon is more of like a subtle flavor.
Yeah.
Or like a low-key flavor. I don't know how to describe it, but it's not like punching you in the mouth.
Yeah, it's not. And it's really solid, really good. Overall, we have like an 8.25 cookie right here.
We sure do.
We should end this segment. This is just on the fly right now, guys. We should end this segment with an either try it or don't try it.
I like that. I like that idea.
And we, so for this one, we can certainly say this gets a try it.
Do we have to agree? Consensus?
We should do it at the same time.
Okay.
And then we should be like, you'd be like, try it, and I'm like, don't try it. And it's
I feel
like
for
sneaky.
The most part, we'll agree, but that would be fun if we disagree.
That's sneaky. You're like, don't try, because then like you almost have to try it because there's disagreement. You know what I mean? But try it.
Try this one.
If you're going to Crumble this week, I would encourage you.
Try the Kentucky butter cake.
You know
too.
What I would never do?
What's that?
I would never. I shouldn't say never. That would be a strong statement. If I'm going to Crumble, I'm gonna get the mini cookies.
3 of them. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Brianna went to, my wife, she went to, what was it last week? She went to, oh my gosh, new place just opened. Wingstop, new place around here.
I've heard it's like.
Okay, Wingstop, you have to, if you're going to get it the right way and enjoy it, it's, you got it, in my opinion, I really like the Wingstop tenders, and I like the Wingstop sandwich, and I like the Voodoo fries. That was what was really good for, and the ranch is great, but you don't like ranch, right? But it was really good. But when my wife went there, she went to Crumble Cookie as well. And because I was like, go to Crumble. It's right there. And I was like, get some mini cookies. She came home with a mini cookie. I cut the mini cookie in half, and I ate 2 halves of a mini cookie, so 1 cookie. And that's like 300 calories. That's not nearly as bad as eating a 1,000-calorie cookie.
You get to try a few of the flavors.
Correct.
More than just one.
Right.
It's great.
Anyways, that was kind of irrelevant. It's okay. It usually is at the end of Rate That Anything. Thanks for tuning in to Rate That Crumble Cookie. We will see you next time. Now, boom. Welcome to the teaching part of the podcast. So happy that you guys decided to stay on and check out what the Word of God has to say today. I'm excited to teach this today. Last week, I did Is Prosperity Biblical? And I covered whether or not this concept of prosperity is biblical or not. And people will say, oh, you know, the prosperity gospel and all that type of stuff. And I talked about, is prosperity actually a biblical concept? And if so, If so, like, you know, where is it found? All that great stuff. But what I would encourage you to do before I continue with the teaching today, if you have not watched the teaching on if prosperity is biblical and you are not convinced that prosperity is biblical, then I would go back and watch that teaching and then come back to this one, because this week I'm going to be covering how we can walk in prosperity. But if you don't even believe that prosperity is biblical, you're not going to care how to walk in prosperity. So I would encourage you to pause, get out, and go watch the previous video. So if that's you, go ahead and do that. If not, and you're still tuning in, then let's keep on going. How can we walk in prosperity? How can we walk in prosperity? I'm going to give you a couple of keys of how we can walk in prosperity. The first key is actually very surprising for some people. Very surprising for some people. Do I want to make this one first or do I want to make it second? I'm going to make it second. I'm going to do uno reverse. I'm going to make it second. I'm going to do this one first. Go to Genesis 8. Genesis 8, and this is going to be a quick teaching today. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. How can we walk in prosperity? My first point for you, we can walk in prosperity by obeying biblical principles. By obeying biblical principles. Genesis 8:22. The Bible says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. There is a law that God makes from the beginning of time of seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. In other words, there's a time for sowing and there's a time for reaping. There's a time for sowing and there's a time for harvest. And this is a principle that God makes where sowing and reaping is not simply just something that God meant for planting a crop and receiving a harvest, but it's actually a spiritual principle that goes far and beyond. And so God says, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. Now go to Galatians chapter 7. Galatians chapter 7. Galatians chapter, oh, why did I say 7? 6. Oh, because it's verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Some people might say, well, Pastor Joey, you know, I know that you're saying, you know, seed time and harvest, but God was just talking about, you know, sowing into the ground and receiving, you know, harvest of crops and stuff like that. But we actually can see not only in this scripture, but throughout the Bible, that seed time and harvest is actually a biblical principle, that whatever you sow, you'll reap. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. You know how I know that this is talking even about financial sowing? If we read back in verse 6, it says, let the one who is taught the word of God share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So the Apostle Paul even uses another analogy where he says, if you sow to your flesh, you'll reap from your flesh. But if you sow to your spirit, you'll reap from your spirit. And so he even uses a spiritual analogy. And then in verse 9, it says, and let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now let's break down this scripture a little bit and what it's saying. This scripture starts with, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. What this biblical principle is that whatever I sow, I will reap. And whatever means whatever. I'll give you a great example of this. And this is not to pat myself on the back by any means. This is just trying to give you an example that makes sense. When the Bible says whatever, it really means whatever. I took a group of students or two students to go get a haircut one time. And I took these students to get the haircut, these two students, and obviously I paid for the haircut. And I left and I took them home. A couple weeks later, I went back to that same place to get a haircut. And they had told me when I went to the register that my haircut was already paid for. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's so cool. That's so interesting. And so I got in the car and I called my friend. And I said to him, the weirdest thing just happened to me. Somebody paid for my haircut before I even got there. Somebody paid for my haircut. I have no idea like how they knew I got my haircut. I have no idea why that even happened. And my friend started laughing. And he said to me, he said, Joey, you've sewed haircuts. Remember when you took those kids to get a haircut? And actually, I believe it wasn't even a couple of weeks. It was a couple of months after the fact that I had taken them. I had completely forgot about it. And I laughed and I said, you know what? You're right. And he said, that's because whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I went back a couple of weeks later again and somebody had paid for my haircut again. I sowed and I reaped. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so if I want to prosper, and we're speaking financially here, if I want to prosper financially, then I need to sow financially. If I don't sow financially, I have no seed in the ground to be able to get a harvest from it. Think about it like this. Imagine how foolish it would be for a farmer to go out into his field and expect to find an apple tree so that he can get apples, even though he's planted no apple seeds. You would call that person very crazy for doing something like that. Where's my apple tree? Oh, where did you plant the apple seeds? Nowhere. I'm just expecting my apple tree. You would think they were psychotic. In the same way, it is crazy for us to believe that God is going to prosper us financially when we do not follow his biblical principle of sowing and reaping. There is a financial sowing that needs to take place in order for us to be able to receive a financial harvest. Now, let me be clear with this. One of the reasons for sowing financially is also because we want to do good to those who teach us the word of God, just as it says in verse 6, that let the one who is taught the word of God share all good things with the one who teaches. And so the Bible says that, and in verse 10, it says, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so we actually are first doing this even because we want to do good to those in the household of faith. Secondly, we want to show God that we trust him with our finances. We want to put God first in our finances, show God that even that money does not mean everything to us, that he means everything to us. A lot of people don't get this. They think, oh, these prosperity preachers, they just love money and they just want to, you know, get money. I don't love money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Loving money is evil. I don't love money at all. What's it called? I don't have a love of money. Do I like money? Do I like having it? Yeah, sure. But not, I don't love it. I don't love it. I don't love it, though. I don't love it anywhere near the way that I love God. I seek his kingdom first. I put God first. Money is a tool that I can use to be able to do what God's called me to do. Money is a tool. God also blesses me beyond even what I need. Of course, this is why we're talking about prosperity. But God blesses me because I've made a decision that I don't love money. Because when you love money, you'll do anything to get it, even things that are against the word of God. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve both God and money. You can't serve God and something else. I don't serve money, and by no means am I teaching anyone to in this podcast to love money. I'm teaching you to love God, trust his word, and do what his word says, and to sow into his kingdom. And when you do that, the Bible promises that you'll reap what you sow. You'll reap what you sow. So the Bible says whatever you sow, you'll reap, and that applies to anything, and that includes financial. If you sow kindness, you'll reap kindness. What does the Bible say? Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Everything you do in life is a seed. The way that you treat others, the things that you do to others are actually seeds that you're sowing that you'll reap a harvest on. See, sowing and reaping can be positive, but it also could be negative. If I sow bad seed, I'll reap bad harvest. So I want to sow good seed and reap good harvest. We need to obey the principles of the Bible. We need to obey biblical principles. Sowing and reaping is a biblical principle. The next thing that we have to do is we have to obey the commands of God. And those kind of go hand in hand. But I'm talking about one as a principle because this is a kingdom principle. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. If you want to prosper financially, you need to obey that principle that whatever you sow, you'll reap. But ready? Now you need to obey the commands of God. The commands of God. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Verse 10. Actually, verse 8. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions or offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you down a blessing until there is no more need. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that God is going to pour us out a blessing. I want to read it. He's going to open the windows of heaven for you and pour you down a blessing until there's no more need. Amen. Praise God. That's not what the Bible says. What do you mean? That's exactly what it says. You just read it. That's not the fullness of what the Bible says. The Bible says that there is a contingency to be able to receive that promise. And that contingency is obedience to his word. What does his word say? If we're going to receive that promise, then we need to bring the tithe into the storehouse. We need to bring the tithe to the Lord. We need to honor God with 10%. That's what tithe means. 10% of everything that we get belongs to the Lord. If I get an extra $50 for Christmas, $5 of that goes to the Lord. I take tithing so seriously because the Bible says if I don't do it, I'm robbing God. Well, that's not fair of God to expect us to give us 10%. It's not. God created all things, and all things were created by him. God has blessed us with everything that we have. Everything belongs to God, yet he only asks for us to give him 10%. Why does God ask for 10%? He wants to see where your heart is. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God wants to see, will you trust me with your finances? Because here's the reality, God gets it. Finances or any type of currency, whether it was cattle at that time or grain, those types of currency or things that you needed to live, God understands you need those things to be able to live. You need those things. And if you don't have them, it's going to be very difficult to be able to live. And so God says, okay, go ahead and do that. Show me that you trust me. In fact, this is the only place in Scripture that God tells us to test him because God understands the difficulty that we can have in giving that to him. The very thing that we need money. We need some type of resource to be able to utilize, to buy things and get things, and to be able to eat, to be able to drink, to be able to have clothes. We need those types of resource. We need money to be able to live. We need currency to be able to live. God understands that this is going to be a hard task. So I'm going to tell them that if they put me to the test in this, watch and see as I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing. Everything belongs to God. God gives me 10 apples. He only expects for me to give one back to him to show him that I trust him. I trust him. And in return, God says, I'll even bless you with more. It's such a great deal, yet so many people have problems with this. Well, Pastor Joey, some people will say, tithing is the old covenant, not the new covenant. Amen. Actually, tithing is pre-covenant. Pre-covenant? Yeah. Before the old covenant even was established, before the old covenant was established with Moses, Abraham, before Moses, went to Melchizedek, the high priest, and brought a tithe. Why? Tithing is not just an old covenant concept. Tithing is a spiritual principle. God wants the first. God wants the first. What does the Bible say? Seek first the kingdom of heaven. God is interested in first. Abraham brought the first. the tithe, the 10% of everything to the Lord. God wants first. God wanted Cain's best. He wanted the best, the first of everything that Cain had, everything that Abel had. Abel did it, Cain didn't. Abel did it, and Cain did not. And God said to Cain, if you do what is right, won't you be accepted also? We have to give God our first. God expects our first. God expects our best. But God is so good that even though he owns it all, and even though he can just simply command us to trust him and to put him first in our finances, he even turns around and says, you know what? And if you do it, I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll bless you with so much. Why will God do that? Because when God sees that you trust him with your finances, God can give you more because you're faithful in the little, just as the Bible says. And they who are faithful in the little, they will be given much more. Tithing is a biblical command. If you're going to walk in prosperity, tithing is a necessity. If you're going to walk in prosperity, tithing is a necessity. Not only that, if you're just going to be obedient to God, tithing is a necessity. But if you want to walk in prosperity, tithing is necessary. Many people are wondering why they're struggling in their finances, but they don't even tithe. They don't even tithe. If when you tithe and when you give to God, he will bless you. He will bless you. Amen. Amen. I could even go deeper into this. I'll go a little deeper. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, whatever a man sows, or I'm sorry, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. This goes into that principle even further. And this is in the context of financial giving, by the way. People try to say, well, does that really mean financial? Yes, it's in the context of financial giving, as is Galatians chapter 6. It's in the context of financial giving. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, whatever a man's, or oh my goodness, I did it again. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you sow a little bit, you'll only reap a little bit. But if you sow a lot, you'll reap a lot. But here's where people miss it. Well, Pastor Joey, I sowed and I gave to God and I didn't see anything come back. Let me ask you a question. If a farmer were to plant a seed into the ground, if a farmer were to plant a seed into the ground, wouldn't it be foolish of that farmer to expect there to be a harvest the next day? It takes time. It takes working the ground. It takes watering of the plant. The Bible's very clear. The Bible is very clear in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. In due season, a harvest will be given back to you. The Bible says to not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season a harvest will come back to you. In other words, keep going, keep sowing, keep doing, keep obeying the word of God, keep sowing, and in due season there will be a harvest. I'll tell you this, it actually, for me to see my first substantial harvest, I saw some little things. My first substantial harvest was 4 years after I began to sow, and I sowed violently. I continued, I didn't sow sparingly, I sowed bountifully. I sowed stuff that means something to me. That's a good note for me to bring up. If you're going to prosper, you need to sow something that means something to you. You don't have to sow all your seed. Let me put it like this. You don't have to sow everything. When you get a harvest, you don't have to sow your entire harvest unless you specifically feel the Lord pulling you to do that. But you do need to sow something that matters to you. How do I know that? Well, Jesus condemned the Pharisees for the way that they gave their offering, but he admonished, that's the right word, right? Admonished the widow. I have to make sure my vocabulary is okay. Can somebody say amen? But he admonished the widow for giving two small mites. Is that not the right word? What's the word that I'm looking for then? Complimented? It's not the right word at all. We're missing the word, folks. Can somebody say praise God? Actually, I don't know why we're praising God for me not being able to think of the right word right now. But what I'm saying is that he basically looked favorably upon the woman who gave the two mites and said, yeah, she did a good thing. And she, even Jesus said, she gave more than the Pharisees who were dropping these big buckets of money into the offering bucket. He said she gave more than them, even though she gave two coins. Why? Well, Jesus is teaching us something. Jesus said, well, she gave all she had. She gave something that meant something to her. When you give to God, don't give to God something that doesn't mean anything to you. God doesn't like that. God didn't like it when Cain gave his leftovers. Cain gave his leftovers to God, and God rejected it. But Abel gave his best. He gave the first fruit. He gave the best of what he had. And God received that, but he said, with Cain, I don't want that. I don't want your leftovers. God wants something that matters to you. When you sow a seed, make sure it matters to you. It's something that actually matters to you. Because if it matters to you, it'll matter to God. Why? Because God will see your heart that it actually matters to you and that you're not just giving him. He's not just an afterthought. He's not just an afterthought. It means something to you. If you want to experience financial prosperity, keep sowing and keep sowing things that mean something to you. I'm not saying by any means to just sow all your money in your bank account all the time. That's not what the Bible commands us to do. Give as you've determined in your heart and give something that matters to you. Those are biblical concepts. But give all your money away all the time, that's not a biblical concept. Unless you really feel God tell you to empty out all your money in your bank account, then don't do it. And if you have hesitation, don't do it. Give as you've determined in your heart, the Bible says. Give as you determine in your heart. But God may very well ask you to give everything in your bank account. You may really feel to do that. But if you don't, then don't do it. Don't do it. But give something that matters to you. So we have obeying spiritual principles. We have obeying the commands of God, which are tithing and giving. And then obviously the first thing, the spiritual principle of sowing and reaping. And to not lose heart, keep sowing, keep sowing, keep believing. And a harvest will eventually come your way. But then lastly, we have go and do what God has called you to do. Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. Many people, they sow, they give, and they tithe. And they aren't experiencing the fullness of the financial blessing that God has for them because they're missing one key thing. They'll say, praise God, I know that God is Jehovah Jireh. Can somebody say amen? Somebody will go and do something God told them not to do. God told them to move to Tennessee, but instead they moved to Oklahoma because they wanted to be closer to family. And they'll go to Oklahoma, can somebody say amen? God is Jehovah Jireh. I know that he's going to provide for me everything that I need. What if I told you that that's not what Jehovah Jireh means? Genesis chapter 22. Are you saying Jehovah Jireh means doesn't mean that God will provide? It kind of means that, but let's read what Genesis 22 says. In Genesis 22, God told Abraham to go bring his son Isaac up to a mountain and sacrifice him on that mountain. Now, many people will say, is this saying that God is for child sacrifice, Pastor Joey? That's not what was happening here. What was happening here is that God, first and foremost, was testing Abraham to see if he would obey him. But secondly, the reason he had child sacrifice be the thing on the table is Abram, which was Abraham's name before God changed his name, Abram was a polytheist. He believed in many gods. And these gods he believed in, they believed in childs, or they, I shouldn't say they believed, they weren't real. The people that believed in these gods said that they needed to sacrifice their children to these gods. And so they would go and sacrifice their children. And so God commands Abraham to go and sacrifice his son. Why? Because he says, he wants Abraham to see, I'm not like other gods. Well, how do we know that God was saying that? Because God did not have Abraham sacrifice Isaac. When he got up there to the mountain, when he got up there and he went to go sacrifice Isaac, God stopped him and said, don't lay a hand on the boy. God wanted Abraham to see, I'm not like the other gods. I'm not like everybody else. Abraham, I'm not like everybody else. He wanted to test Abraham's faithfulness, wanted to show Abraham, I'm not like other gods. And lastly, wanted Abraham to see this. Verse 14. So Abraham, basically God provided a ram caught in a thicket for the sacrifice that needed to be made. And after God provided the ram caught in the thicket, Abraham says this. So Abraham called the place, the name of that place, the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. So here's the thing. Well, it's true that God is our provider. There's a contingency to that. We have to be on the mount of the Lord if we want it to be provided to us. If we want what God has for us, we need to go and be where God wants us to be. If we don't go where God wants us to go, and we aren't where God wants us to be, then we can't claim that, you know, oh, he's Jehovah Jireh, all that stuff, if we're in disobedience to where God has called us to go. Let this be an important lesson for every person watching this. Go where God tells you to go. Be where God tells you to be. If you go where God tells you to go, if you be where God tells you to be, then everything that you need will be provided for you when you get there. There's a story about a famous minister. I forget which one it is, so I won't say the name. A famous minister that he felt God tell him to go to another country. And when he got to the other country that he was in, he didn't have any money. He only had enough money to be able to get to the place that God told him to go to. And he felt God telling him to go there to go preach the gospel in that nation. He spent all of his money going where God told him to go. He had no money. And he showed up in this country he's never been before. When he got to the country, someone was waiting there for him. And they said, are you so-and-so? He said, yeah. He said, the Lord showed me that you were coming here. Come with me. And he brought him to a house and said, the Lord told me to get this house prepared for you. Here, this is where you're going to live while you do what God has told you to do. What happened on the mount of the Lord? It was provided. Go where God has told you to go, and everything you need will be provided. You want to walk in prosperity? Great. Everybody wants to walk in prosperity, right? That sounds awesome. But if we're going to walk in prosperity, we need to be where God tells us to be. The last thing that I'll kind of throw in here is that we need to be faithful if we're going to walk in prosperity. We can't expect the first day that we sow something, the first day that we do what God's commanded us to do, that all of a sudden we're just going to, you know, be like prospering right and left. We can expect that God's going to provide everything that we need, but we'll continue to increase as we are faithful. We need to show our faithfulness in the little things, and then God will give us much more. Amen. Amen. I hope that teaching blessed you and encouraged you today. I'm going to pray for you today that God would continue to bless you in accordance with his word as you continue to obey him. Father, I thank you for every single person watching this. I thank you that it's your will that each of us prosper. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that every person listening to this right now, that as they obey your word and are faithful to you, Father, I thank you that you'll do what your word says that you'll do, and you'll bless them so much that they won't even have room to be able to take it in. I thank you for your blessing, and I thank you that your blessing makes us rich and adds no sorrow to it. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So happy you decided to tune in. God bless you, and I will see you back here next week.